Ladies and gentlemen, it is Wednesdays with Wojo, and as we know, it's been a very tough week for all of us, especially Woj, Jamie's best friend and a great friend to all of us, of course. But Woj, the world and sports gods work in mysterious ways, and when you saw that Michigan will end the season at Northwestern, how quick did Jamie run through your mind? Because immediately.
You know, obviously, and not just for me, for everybody that knew or didn't know and loved Jamie, his family and everybody, it has been a rough week, obviously. You guys have done a great job.
So have
filling
you.
The hole that empty, that or trying to fill the hole that Jamie left. And I mean that sincerely. And so it's been tough, but then, you know, you wake up today and you see a Big Ten football schedule. And like you said, Michigan closes against Northwestern. Michigan added Northwestern, and Michigan State added Nebraska, I think, is their mm-hmm. added game. And a tiny, tiny bit of weird normalcy when you see a schedule reveal, although no idea if the games will end up being played, but... Are you guys playing the schedule game? Is that bit of normal thing?
Well, Gov said Michigan should be undefeated going into Ohio State.
I didn't say should, will. I asked you the question.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Did you hear my mistake earlier?
The animosity, right?
Oh, no, no.
So hostile environment.
Yes. Hostile environment where there might not be any fans.
Yeah. And that's why I know people are a little bit freaked out about, like, why did the Michigan State game switch to Ann Arbor, you know, for the second year in a row? Honest to goodness, that's good for Michigan State, I think. I mean, if you're going to play, you'd rather play them at home when there's fans, theoretically, next year. But it really doesn't matter, the home and away this year, does it? I mean, will there be, if obviously no fans, will there be any atmosphere? There'll be, I guess, music and stuff, but I don't know. Will the fans be there or anything at all? We don't know.
You're right. It is a great unknown. But the weird thing is, I don't know if, because we obviously didn't have the sound on, if the schedule, if everything returns to normal next year, if the schedule that's already in place for 2021, if that's going to go as is, because if so, that means, granted, no fans, but that means Michigan State goes to Ann Arbor 3 years in a row. And it would
probably. Now you're right. That would be a major screw job for Michigan if that's what they do. I don't know. I guess I sort of assumed if they flipped it this year, they would flip it next year. But who knows?
Right.
You might be right. That would be not fair. I agree.
I mean, it's just a complete unknown whether there's a home field advantage or not at all this year. I mean, I could make the argument that a road team would be more focused because they have no distractions. It's a business trip. But then I also put the possibility that some of these teams may travel by bus instead of playing. I think that's got to be a possibility. So then that would be more difficult.
That's true. And will, I assume, teams on the road will sequester, obviously, in a hotel the night before on the road. I assume the home teams will also sequester in a hotel at home like they have, you know, traditionally. I assume, I mean, maybe for a day or two just to, I don't know. That you're right. That bus, plane. There, I mean, you can't bus to Nebraska. I don't think.
No.
But correct. And who knows what the level of sequestering, if it can even happen, will be. You know, day, a two, not at all. Not at all. I don't know.
Here's the other question. They've always said, you know, not officially, but you can't have games, you can't have athletics if the students aren't on campus. Can you still do that even if they might be on campus but all the classes are online?
I think you can. Okay. Because
the players sometimes take online classes, as we know.
Right, right. And the presidents have said, I know the Michigan State president, that it's up to the students.
Right.
And it's also up to the players if they want to. And you've seen some of the some of the big names that have opted out, like Micah Parsons mm-hmm. of Penn State and the Minnesota receiver. And so as long as you don't get your scholarship yanked, as long as you have, I don't know. And again, maybe I'm being naive or overly optimistic here. If I'm football player, I would rather be in the controlled, you know, secure, sterile, hopefully, environment of, you know, the college football facility as opposed to, you know, either back at home or, I don't know, hanging out at the door. You know, we talk about, we keep talking in public, you know, everybody wear a mask so we can have football, wear a mask. You know what I also, who we should start directing that to? Kids.
I know.
Or young people, when you show up on campus, in the dorms, and whether house parties, hopefully not, whatever, that's who needs to be super, super careful, because they're going to be the ones coming in contact with fellow students, including football players.
Yeah.
That's who we directed at now.
Absolutely. What do you think of Kelly Stafford's tirade on Instagram yesterday? Deserved?
I get it. I totally get it. I mean, because if, as she described, she felt like being, you know, ostracized or not ridiculed, but whatever, in public because, oh, you know, there's she. We know her husband, and he has. I get that. The NFL, these tests are not perfect. And the thing to remember, though, and I know it blows that for a short while he had that stigma or she had that stigma, but in tests like this, they always err on the side of declaring it positive. Even if it's inconclusive, you don't want to declare, okay, that one's a negative two, we think, because that's a worse repercussion if you announce somebody's negative and then they're not. So, and they immediately, you know, tested again and got it right. So there's going to be stuff like this, but yeah, I get her anger. But I hope she's also very, very happy that it was a false positive ultimately.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Now, well, throughout your career, we've had interns work for us. And I'm just curious, because you're the big recruiter, when you recruit interns, do you wear cleats in the house?
Yes, I do. Okay. And I take my shirt off, too. No, I don't. That story now, odd, of course.
Yeah.
Jim Harbaugh with an odd recruiting story with, what was the guy's name, Isaiah Wilson?
Yeah. You know, it would have been great. They had such a good offensive line last year that if they had Wilson, it would be great. But you know what? I said, you know, you're right. He's odd, but you know what? The oddities might have gotten him Quinn Nordine and David Long, because I think that was whose tree he was climbing, and a few others. So, you know, maybe his oddities got him some and lost one.
And let's admit that the player, Isaiah Wilson, is kind of odd, too, because he also revealed he didn't want to go to Alabama because Nick Saban didn't shake his hand.
He didn't hug him.
Didn't hug him. So, whatever. I mean, just put it on the list of oddities. And you know, I sometimes feel like players or people or whatever love telling Harbaugh stories. They want to have their own Harbaugh story. And the only way that's really a bad look, is if they asked him to take his cleats off. When he,
right.
And he didn't. And I don't think they asked him to. But
Wojo, though, let's say, like, so you used to host fantasy drafts back in the day, and somebody shows up to the draft and they're wearing cleats and they don't take them off and they're just walking around in your kitchen. Like, aren't you like, what in the world?
Yes.
And you probably would, and I don't think you would say anything.
See, no, you're probably right. Now, I mean, cleats, they're not like steel cleats,
No, they're rubber cleats, I assume.
Yeah, so.
But she had hardwood floors. I mean,
I want to see the damage to the floor, and if there was, then Harbaugh should pay for it. if there was damage to the floor. But, I mean, that was, how many years ago would that have been? Two, three, four, I lose track,
Four or five. It was the same year.
Five, right.
It was the same recruiting class that they got Cesar Ruiz. Was that the signing of the Stars year?
I think that was.
It might have been. Yeah.
Yeah, Nordine was part of that.
Yeah.
So, Wojo, with baseball, there hasn't been any positive tests in the last couple of days. Do you think they have survived this storm?
I think I'm overly, again, patient and probably overly optimistic, but overly patient because I keep saying, I sort of do. I keep, the minute something happens, they're never going to make it, shut it down. Who knows about college football? But I've been of the opinion, just keep trying. I mean, until something hopefully doesn't, but if something really horrible happens, then you shut it down. But just keep trying, and they, you know, the Tigers aren't going to get those four games against the Cardinals back. That actually, I think, improves their chances because they're going to come down to win percentage now as opposed to games behind, which could be easier to achieve. So, yeah, I'm still not 100%, not even close to 100% positive baseball will make it to the end, but nor college football. I mean, not even 50% positive, not even 40%. But what is the harm in keep trying? Even if the season doesn't make it to its conclusion or college football doesn't start, you know what you gain by keep trying? You're learning things. You're learning what works. You're learning, and I could hear somebody else, oh, really, Wojo, at the expense of the health of these players. These players want to try to go through it, too.
Right.
How they have young, they have careers at stake. They have draft positions. They have tons of stuff at stake. So as long as we can do it, learn, see what tests work, see what protocols work, I say keep trying, keep going.
Well, I just want to tell you publicly, and everybody's said it on social media and stuff, your column on Jamie was one of the greatest things, most heartwarming, heartbreaking at the same time columns I've ever read. It's got to be one of your best, if not the best. And you're the man. I mean, the fact that like even people like Scott Van Pelt commented on it. I don't know how he saw it. Somebody might have retweeted it and that he follows or something. I mean, it was unbelievable, and the love and affection for our friend is just put a smile on your face in an awful way. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, smile on the face and a tear in the eye for sure. And I appreciate that, and I appreciate all the nice things people have said about the column, but more so about Jamie. And anytime I'm almost like embarrassed if somebody said that was really good.
I know.
And to which I respond like, each and every one of those words were inspiration from Jamie. Like, I mean, he always is to write. I've said before, he helped me write the picks columns and whatever. I mean, he really, in those words as they came out, they were coming straight, not just from my heart or everybody else's heart, but from his heart. And yeah. And I tried my best to capture it, and I appreciate that. But his one more time, I want people to know that his family is just overwhelmed with the response and the support. I mean, truly overwhelmed. I mean, I'm overwhelmed, but they're overwhelmed. And people that didn't even know him, you know, sending tweets and texts saying that they've been in tears, which I totally get. And not just the words, but the videos and the tributes and Fox 2s and everybody else's videos and everything the ticket has done, it's just Will Birchfield's column, all of it. It's I mean, you know what? Jamie would want this season to be played to get to that last game against Thornton.
Oh, right? I know he would. He'd also want to figure out where Birchie is sleeping every night now, though.
Yeah.
Hanging out in your backyard with the critters.
I'm surprised anybody could survive
one night
in my backyard.
Super quick. I just want to applaud your strength through this. You had to make some very difficult phone calls on Saturday helping Christy and their family, and I just want to thank you for doing that because I know that had to be extremely difficult for you. And just something that's come out of this is we've worked together off and on, directly, indirectly, for 25 years, and we've been telling each other we love you. We need to do that more often.
And the other thing, I don't know if you know that we got a text yesterday that Tom read it, and it's true. We need to go to the powers that be and rename this studio that we're broadcasting from, the Jamie Samuelson Studio.
Oh, that would be wonderful. And you're both right. Everybody's right. I mean, say you love each other more often and show it more often. And that's, I mean, do something kind to a stranger. Say something kind. Jamie, like, you heard, I think I heard Doug Carson, like, if you got a text from Jamie, just say, boy, that was a great segment. Or he would say, you really hit it with your column this week or whatever. To the point where if he didn't send the text that week, but I would think, uh-oh, what'd I do wrong? He didn't, because he was so conscientious about letting people know when he really liked something. And those little things go along, make a big, wonderful life at the end. They do.
All right. Woj, we'll talk to you on the air next week. I'll see you soon.
Okay, sounds good.
All right. Wednesdays with Wojo. It's the Wojo and Rieger Show every night at 6 o'clock. 97.1 The Ticket.